Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. You're either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast or the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Podcast Network. I'm Davis Matic, joined by Nate Noling, joined by Sammy Reed. I have it on good authority, guys, that this is the people's favorite type of show when we all get crushed. And let me tell you this. Whoo boy, did we get crushed in cash games today. Our teams, I think I realized I was dead by halftime, maybe before that, though. I hope that this is the most that I get smoked this year. It's not great, guys.
I'm such an asshat that I, like, said, you know what? We can still come back from this at halftime. And that was just really, really misplaced optimism.
It was. Yeah, Nate, kind of take me through your emotions for the day, because I'm assuming that you were about as tilted as I was.
Well, I think me and Sammy had a different sweat. Me and Sammy were just waiting for the Lockett, like, 80-yard TD bomb from Russ to, like, save our day. And I kind of just, until the last minute of the game, I thought it was coming. I was like, I just had that, like, oh, Lockett's going to do it. Lockett's going to get there. He's not going to end the game with four targets.
Why wouldn't he?
Like, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. So it was, like, painful because I held out hope all of that, like, the first afternoon slate. I was like, oh, Lockett's going to get there. What am I sweating? Lockett's going to get there.
So I played Lockett in FanDuel cash, and I assumed the same thing, by the way.
Spoiler,
I was like, dude, Lockett, come on. Like, it's Lockett, it's Russ. Like, he's going to get there. And Tyler Lockett, he did not get there. I got to say, over the course of the season, though, getting the fish off of Lockett, like, now that we've seen one time that Lockett failed, I kind of think that this might be plus EV. Do you guys, like, we're going to be able to get the next time Lockett is like 6,800 in, like, an elite spot, he's going to be like 17% in cash.
Let me just tell you, Davis, my family cannot live off EV. Okay. We needed Tyler Lockett to do something today to eat, and we did not eat. This is not good. This is not good. This was an awful performance. Imagine playing the Miami Dolphins and your team scoring 31 points and, like, David Moore is just, like, crushing your soul while you do nothing because you're Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett was the most mentally weak play I think I've ever made in my life, and I'm really upset at myself for it.
You know, I don't know if it was the most mentally weak. Let's go into our three man here real quick. Cause you know what the actual most mentally weak play that we made was, and I'm being dead ass about this. I'm being completely non-facetious. Wait, you guys didn't do this. You guys played Fitzpatrick at quarterback.
Yeah. We're not fish.
So I played Deshaun Watson, and let me tell you this. When that report came out this morning that Bill O'Brien was retaking the play calling duties, it doesn't matter if Deshaun Watson was playing against a junior varsity team and was projected for 96 DraftKings points, the absolute maximum that he would have gotten in this game would be 30, just with the way they were, dude, it was the most unreal display of lib ownage I have ever seen in my life. They were down two touchdowns calling runs on second and long. It was unbelievable. Why did you not play Deshaun Watson?
Well, I liked the construction with Fitzpatrick better, but I mean, literally with Bill O'Brien, like, how could you play him when you saw that report? Did that not just immediately. Dude,
that's such fantasy COVID on your team. Like I can't believe I played any Texans, and we'll get to the other Texan because.
Okay, so do you want to if we really want to get into why I played Watson, this is why, because these were the Minnesota Vikings games this year, right? So they gave up 248 yards to Aaron Rodgers, I think three touchdowns in that game, maybe four. But that was the Devontae Adams like explosion game, right? Then they go up against the dusty Colts, and even Philip Rivers has a competent fantasy game against them. Only throws one interception, which by Philip Rivers standards is like basically, you know, throwing a perfect game. They're only able to score 11 points in that game. And then Ryan Tannehill has 321 yards, and Derrick Henry scores twice in that game. But basically, the Vikings are just the dustiest defense ever. That sort of proved to be true in the sense of Watson had a good game. Like he had 26 when he had 1 point at half. So had they started calling the good plays in the first half, I think Watson would have been fine. And I'm going to be completely real with you two donkeys. You guys ran hot with Fitzpatrick because he was looking like a disaster. Oh,
says
of a play.
The guy who plays Watson who lands exactly on 300 yards.
You guys ran out. I will say, I don't think Watson was a bad play. Like, he was in my pool of like probably three quarterbacks, but Fitz was like the guy for me at 5'4" pretty much all week. So it was just I never wanted to get off of him. It was
very hard. It was a very hard week to pay up for quarterback. The pricing on DraftKings was just super tight, and especially after the Chiefs game got moved and we didn't have Edwards-Helaire at our disposal anymore, things just got even tighter. So I didn't really see the path to like saving that salary.
I'm a little bit bummed that you guys got moved off of Edwards-Helaire onto Mike Davis.
Oh my God. This is an absolutely insane.
Nate, this is not a, first off, oh you're an God. Idiot. Second of all. Okay. So wait, hold on. I need a little bit more from you guys on the Fitzpatrick stuff. Like just
QB was not where the slate was going to be made or lost this week. And why would I not just go at the cheapest one? The only thing I feel somewhat fishy about with QB is not just paying up for Dak. If Dak's going to really throw 50 times, like we just
Dak through 4 weeks, if you had to guess right now, how many fantasy points or how many yards do you think Dak has thrown for?
Dude, he's got like 1,800.
Yeah, I'd guess 17.
Something like this.
It's like 17, it's like 1,685 because they didn't throw very much in that first game against the Rams.
Oh yeah, it was only the last three. He's had 450 each.
Okay, so the thing about Fitz is Seattle so far has been this team that is playing a lot of just high fantasy point games. They're allowing a lot of points and they're scoring a lot of points, and so they are just creating natural shootouts. So to get a quarterback in that situation. Who's 5.4 that also like he runs, you know, not a ton, but like he runs
enough for you to consider it when you are making your lineups. I agree with that.
And yeah, especially so, at his salary, you consider that.
Yeah. I mean, if they weren't, I mean, he honestly would have had a much better day if the Dolphins weren't so nutsackless and didn't just like kick field goals all the time. Wait, did Cliff Kingsbury take over this team?
Yeah. It's so bizarre. Yeah, it was very weird.
You're facing Russell Wilson and like, oh, it's 4th and 4 from the 15. I'm going to kick a field goal. Like, nah, dude, sack up and throw the rock. Like, what's happening?
I don't think we were so
tilting. Like, we did not run good with Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
we
when you think about the touchdown variance, they were literally like their first five drives ended up in field goals. That's not running good. For a quarterback, you need those touchdowns.
Davis just thinks because he ran one in at the end in garbage time, like we got lucky. Nah, dude, we got unlucky the whole game.
I think that if your thought process was – like, I think Fitzpatrick was fine. I know a lot of, like Fitzpatrick was very owned in, like, high stakes, double ups and stuff. I don't think it was a bad play. I think where I felt differently than you guys was Nate said, you know, he didn't think that quarterback was going to be where the slate was decided. I disagree on that because we have seen Watson. I know that it's like Bill O'Brien and it's the Texans and everything, but we have seen Watson in these spots put up 40, right? You know, 350 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns, 50 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. Like we've seen it. Like he is one of those guys like Kyler, like Dak, like Russ, who can just have, who could just have those insane games. And I really thought against the Vikings that that. And also, I thought at 6,600, I just thought, like, sure, he wasn't 5,400, but what are we used to Watson costing? You know, 7,400? Like, with, you know, we're used to him being kind of where Dak and Russ were, and he wasn't. But there's no excuse for what I did, considering the report about Bill O'Brien calling the place.
The chance to get out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally like, I'm not being facetious when I say that, like, actually I should have considered that, and it was really stupid, and I should feel stupid and bad, and
we've spent far too long talking about quarterback. I think quarterback was a, like, meaningless decision on this slate. I think honestly, even running back felt pretty meaningless to me. It was, well, like, everybody was playing Zeke, everybody was playing Kamara. It was a question of whether or not you were doing, like, the Mike Davis or Rojo. Really, the slate was made or broke at wide receiver.
Yep. I mean, it was in retrospect, yeah.
Like, I think that was the decision that everybody's construction was very similar. You had Zeke, Kamara, and it was either Rojo or Mike Davis. That was like, if you didn't have one of those four running backs in cash, you made a mistake.
I'm bewildered by your Clyde Edwards-Helaire take, because Davis and I were just on, like, team Clyde Edwards-Helaire lockopotamus.
Yeah, like, you literally just jam it. Like, it's a necessity.
God, I mean, COVID has robbed us of so much. And the thing that it's really robbed us of here is Nate fading him while he just goes on a complete smash show.
I mean, I think he would have got, like, 35.
Yeah,
and he still might get 35, by the way, tomorrow night.
Yeah. And then we can just spend our Mike Davis bucks.
And Rojo were better plays.
Okay, thinking Rojo is a better play than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like, you should lose your analytics card. You should have a failed upload every week.
This is insane. This is the most insane thing.
Rojo was $2,200 cheaper.
What do I care?
Their workloads were going to be very similar, and Rojo was $2,200.
Their workloads were going to be very similar, he says. Do you buy that? Do you buy that, Sammy?
I don't buy any of this. Like, I want a guy who's getting, like, 15 to 20 carries and, like, 5-6 targets on the Chiefs. Like, that is not the same workload as Rojo, you know, getting like, 5 dump-offs in the flat turned around from Tom Brady.
Yeah, so I mean, so I actually consider Derek Carty to be kind of the fourth unofficial member of this show, because we reference him a lot. So I asked for his team today, because I knew that he had a good day relative to us, who did not have a good day. And I think what he did actually was very smart, which was he didn't play Adam fucking Troutman first off. But he played, in order to do that, he played Ronald Jones, and then he played Odell as his most expensive wide receiver, and then he played Waller at tight end. So we're going to talk about wide receiver, and we're going to talk about Troutman later. Trust me. But
can't wait.
I got to keep it 100. I played Ronald Jones on a lot of my teams. I drafted him all offseason long. I really could not have stomached him in cash today. Nate, I truly did not consider it. Did you actually give some thought to it?
Oh, 100%. It was between Mike Davis. I had multiple builds this morning between Mike Davis and Rojo. I think the two builds that I was debating between was Rojo, Robbie Anderson, Waller versus Lockett, 4-6, and then Mike Davis. So I thought Rojo was at a great spot here at 4-7 with Fournette out, with a rookie running back who hadn't seen a touch was the only other active back. It was like, I mean, this was the Rojo that you were hoping all offseason you were going to get, that you would have paid at week one, 6-point-something K for, that you're now getting at 4-7.
I just got, I honestly have just been so shook by how quick they are to bench him. And what did he get? 7 targets in this game? I think we had him projected. Yeah. So I think we had him projected for 7% market share of the Tampa Bay targets. Now, granted, I saw room for that to expand, but
yeah, he turned his 9 targets into
like 12 yards.
Yeah. Good on you, Rojo. But I mean, he got 20 carries too. Like, he did get a lot of work. And they scored 38 points.
These other running backs that are close to him are, I mean, there was I don't know, the value of a 4-7 running back with that workload, it was dumb to not consider him.
Well, it was. And the other thing that I think was dumb is what it meant for the rest of your lineup. Like, I'm going to take the L on not considering him more in cash, because what it meant is you wouldn't have to play some asshat at tight end who was not going to catch any balls. And I think that was super, super important. We all knew Waller was going to smash. Like, this was a Waller smash spot. He was far, far, far too cheap. And he ended up having a great day. I think he had like 9 for 88, just like y'all knew. Whereas these cheap tight ends, I mean, you're taking a zero with Trotman. Like, it's not good.
Did Trotman?
We gotta stop spoiling the Trotman stuff. We need that to be like a conserved moment of venting. Like, we need to not mention his name. Don't talk about him until we get there. Because, by the way, that Monday night game, like, there really is something about bad Mark Andrews games that, like, it really sets people off. Like, when Mark, because I think what it is, it really sets me off. But I like felt that collective tilt from Twitter, and I was like, guys, this is what he does. Like, it's, and so I just, that was a good Gilcast. That was a good Gilcast branded moment. But one other thing I want to talk about running backs is Mike Davis is just like 90% of CMC. Like, we should be playing this dude until he's like 8K, I think.
I mean, the does CMC matter columns will be coming out early tomorrow morning.
The answer, I'm ready to everyone put on your UV ray glasses. I'll say this right now. Not only does CMC not matter, he actively makes the Carolina Panthers worse because they because they cater their whole offense around these 4-yard screen passes when they have Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel. They're like, I mean, how great did they look on offense today? Just like pitch and catch with Robbie Anderson and they look so much better.
Yeah, it is a more efficient way to play football, passing it down the field instead of screen passes to 2 yards down the field to Christian McCaffrey.
I love that. Christian McCaffrey, the league LVP.
But I will say, like, yeah, Mike Davis at this point is criminally underpriced until he's like in the 7Ks.
Yeah, and he even got cucked by Bonifon, which was a huge tilt moment.
I think he was hurt. I think because they had
he did he half. he got banged up and then came back in, but he was back in the locker room for that touchdown.
Yeah. McCaffrey would have never come out of the game. He wouldn't have got banged up. So.
Well, certainly McCaffrey would never come out of a game around the 1 yard line. He'd maybe come out around the 40 and let someone else get the ball there. But if there was a 1 yard touchdown, Christian McCaffrey's not leaving the game.
That's right. That's right. So that's the difference between him and Mike Davis. That's the pricing difference you get between the two.
But yeah. DJ Moore definitely did get cucked by Robbie Anderson. How many times? Like, Robbie Anderson is telling
me. I'm ready to basically, I think now, project them equal. Like, give them both like 21 to 23% of the target share in Carolina and feel good about that.
Like, Sammy, you made fun. I sent you a build earlier this week where I had both DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Mike Davis, and you like ripped me. I should have. That should have been my team.
Yeah, you should have. This would have been a better show. Would have roasted your ass.
Like, Robbie was a good play, like, even before the week. And then
yeah, he was, but like as a like tournament pivot off a chalky DJ Moore, not like, oh, I'm gonna stack DJ Moore and Davis and Anderson and then not play Teddy Bridgewater, and when he rushes in a touchdown, I'm gonna tilt my face off till my eyeballs roll on the floor.
But yeah, Robbie's legit gonna eat DJ Moore's lunch every day, it seems.
You know what's fascinating is that I forgot what I was gonna say. Sorry, guys. Showdown is
was not fascinating.
No, it wasn't. I had a point, but Showdown also locks in like 8 minutes, and I have not built my teams yet, so I am working on those at the same time. Oh,
okay, well,
so
Sammy, that's a riveting story. Can we just talk about Tyler Lockett now?
Yeah, I was gonna say
Sammy, we need to talk about Alvin Kamara being set up for the dream spot of all dream spots and getting 20 DraftKings points. That's what we got to talk about.
Well, I mean, who cares though? Because he was like 83% owned. So
yeah, you didn't lose because of Kamara, dude. He was in like every winning lineup.
Well, I was honestly, I was kind of more thinking for tournaments. Like he would, like this is what, week four in a row of us seeing the highest owned running back absolutely suck. And if you just didn't play the highest owned running back, you would have found better options and better teams.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It is crazy though that we're saying what, 20 something is sucking.
I mean, not sucking, but like, what, Mixon got like 40. Like, there just are so many running backs that scored more than him.
Yeah, I mean, when he's 8K and puts up 21, I mean, you're not winning a lot of tournaments off that.
Yeah.
When he's like, yeah. So chalk.
Right. All right, let's do it. Tyler Lockett. I played him in FanDuel Cash. Still managed to get there because I played Fuller. That was nice. But by the way, Fuller on DraftKings, like, why didn't I? He was 5,900. Like, why didn't I just play Will Fuller?
Why didn't we play Fuller instead of Tyler Lockett? Like, what was the difference?
I had a bunch of Fuller in GPP and did not think about Fuller in cash. But Lockett at 7K, I was like, I didn't even blink. Like, Odell was 1,400 cheaper. What was I thinking?
I mean, there were so many. Amari Cooper, just like Odell Beckham. I mean, literally, kind of everybody in that price range. I mean, dude, Keenan Allen didn't even smash. And Keenan Allen was probably, like, a better play than Lockett. I mean, this was just the most
egregious. No, Keenan Allen was not a better play than Lockett.
Look, yeah, dude.
Bad take, Sammy.
I mean, why? Keenan Allen seeing double-digit targets all the time.
This is a little
Tyler
bit
Lockett
of...
disappears. If you pay $7,000 for a receiver, you can't have him disappear. Like, let me tell you, Tyler Lockett is the most mentally weak play I've ever made. And this is why, is because I swapped off of him last week. He went absolutely nuclear, toilet plunger in the rectum. And then I said, you know what? You know who I wanted to play? You remember? It was Evans.
Mike Evans, yeah.
I wanted to play Mike Evans. I was convinced Mike Evans was going to smash. It was just like, oh, great spot. Godwin's out. Like, he always crushes in this spot. Why would I not play him? And I my testicles dropped off. And I became a huge beta cuck boy, and I decided to go with the crowd and play Tyler Lockett, and I paid dearly for it in American dollars.
I mean, truly,
Tyler Lockett.
Would you, even with what Mike Evans had 100 yards, so what, he had like 28-ish probably? I don't even know.
That's right.
Would you have even won swapping Tyler Lockett and Mike Evans score straight up?
I mean, that's messed up.
Davis just dunking on Sammy.
That's brutal. No, yeah, of course I would have won. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. 1922. Yeah, he had 28 and change. Yeah, bro.
I mean, I honestly, I don't.
Sammy would have been fine. I mean, I all right, let's be honest. I stopped looking. I don't even know where the cash line is. I stopped looking after the morning games.
I mean, if I'm gonna be real, I also stopped looking because I was sweating.
But here's the thing: I'm not worried about the results. I'm worried about the process, and this was a bitch made process by me. And you know, frankly, I should just go in the coffin. Like I say, it's more of an art. Guess what? I was not an artist.
You would have, because the cash line was 136.
Yeah.
So
Sammy would have been fine.
We all played.
One thing I will say though, like process wise. When you look at all the higher dollar double ups, I mean, Lockett was like the second most owned wide receiver other than Moore. I don't know if you can say it was like a bad process play. I think you would have felt super fish playing a 2% owned Mike Evans if Lockett goes out and smashes here. And Evans.
Nah, I mean, dude, DFS, more of an art. And what it told me was Mike Evans was absolutely going to smash. Because Mike Evans doesn't just, when Godwin's out, he doesn't just disappear. Like Tyler Lockett does sometimes. He was going to be involved no matter what. And you can't say that for Tyler Lockett. You can't spend 7K on a dude who like has like some decent percentage of the time where he's just,
I mean, Mike Evans does disappear sometimes though.
Yeah. Not when Godwin's out, he doesn't.
But also like, this is like,
run the 4-for-4 splits, the RotoViz splits, run them for me.
Well, Godwin has only missed 2 games.
Hey, sometimes that's the example you got.
I was about to make a point.
Did any of you guys consider not playing DJ Moore?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. And the answer for me was no. Yeah, he was first guy in. So
I wasn't passionate about DJ Moore, but I knew he was a good play at his price. You know, it'd been great is just to play Odell Beckham and Evans.
I feel so dumb for not even looking at Odell. Like, Odell was in my, like, roughly my top 10, but I don't think I built a team with him in cash.
I did build a team with him, and I saw it. Like, I consider the 2v2. Also, like, every week I've been thinking about splitting, but haven't done it. I didn't even think this was a good week to split. I'll be 100% real. I thought when Locke came, I was like, oh, I'm just going to win today. Like, I thought our team was really good. Yeah. Like, I thought the team was just going to win.
Yeah, had a good feeling. Didn't work out.
Yeah, and so I actually did something different than both of you. You guys played Lockett. I played Metcalf. Metcalf has one catch for 34 yards on the first drive. I'm like, oh, dude, he's locked into the 100-yard bonus. You know, they're going to keep chucking, you know, hashtag let Russ cook. He's going to score twice. And it basically just never really happened. He did actually even get the 100-yard bonus.
Yeah, he got there.
But, yeah, I mean, I would have needed him to get like 30 to get there and 17. Oh,
my God. I would literally sacrifice a litter of kittens if I could get 17.6 out of my wide receiver one.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I think the market maybe overreacted a small bit to last week. Like, I think over the course of the season, if you told me Metcalf scores more fantasy points the rest of the way than Tyler Lockett, I really would not be that surprised, I think.
What do you think about that? Metcalf is a straight beast, and Tyler Lockett
he's a baller.
Wide open stuff, and good for him.
Yeah, Metcalf's a legit boss.
Yeah.
I just feel bad about, like, putting that much faith in Seattle. Like, Russ could throw 300 yards and just spread it out to, like, five different people. But
they haven't been doing that, though. Like, Lockett and Metcalf coming into this game had the highest target share of any two teammates.
Yeah. They've been completely chowing down. But, I mean, you knew, like, the cucking was going to happen.
Yeah, it was 3 weeks. But last year you never would have played Lockett or Metcalf in cash when the Seahawks were a touchdown favorite. Like, you're already buying into the let Russ cook stuff at that point if you're playing one of those guys, and especially unpaired in cash as a favorite.
But this was the week. This is like a total week that shouldn't shock us. Like, when you look at the target breakdown and the target distribution to see a tight end leading the team in targets with 7, and then no wide receiver having more than 6, that's typical Russ Wilson. Like, that's typical Seahawks.
That's him. And Russ did cook.
He did cook. He did.
He threw for 360 yards. They put up 31 points. Like, everything was fine.
Yeah, he
except for the fact that he didn't want to throw to Lockett at all.
Yeah, 360 yards with 2 TDs and on 34 attempts. That's Russ's efficiency. It's just real life football versus fantasy football. Like, that's not what we want. Why didn't we consider Dallas wide receivers?
Yeah, why didn't we play Amari Cooper
50 times?
If Dak's going to throw for 500 yards every game, shouldn't we maybe consider getting some of his receivers on our team? You think that would be a good idea? Yeah, it'd be a great idea. Didn't do it.
Lockett was a bad play in cash from my perspective looking back because of how, like, fragile his projection is when you consider how insane his efficiency is. Like, at 7K, you need him and Russ both to just have insane efficiency because that volume is just not there consistently enough.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't think Lockett was bad. I think you guys are kind of just.
I might be tilting because I got smashed today, but that's where I feel right now.
Yeah, I don't care. I am tilting. I'm tilting my face off right now.
I think that of all the decisions we made today that were bad, playing a Seattle wide receiver as our most expensive wide receiver in cash literally does not register.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the thing is he was only the third worst decision made in, like, y'all's lineups.
Okay, don't tell me the zero from tight end is what killed us. Lockett is what killed me. If I would have had any other – if I would have gone Robinson, if I would have gone Beckham, if I would have gone anybody other than Lockett with that 7K.
Let's get to what actually was just – this is an indefensible decision. There's not one thing that we can say. Brandon Cooks, I mean, what I it's like I just woke up and he was in my lineup. It felt like a body snatcher took over me. Like what was Brandon Cooks gonna do for me? It's just, it's the worst play I've ever made. I mean, this, we're talking about a arthritic 29-year-old with like 19 concussions who is the sixth wide receiver on the Houston Texans. I don't even have the words for how bad this was. This is the worst play I've ever made.
But Davis, everybody did a 4.6 wide receiver like that.
Yeah, anytime, Davis, you have the opportunity to stack Deshaun Watson and Brandon Cooks in cash when Bill O'Brien is calling the plays, you just got to do it, right? Right, buddy?
You know what's sick?
You have felt better with Renfro? Because that's what everybody else did.
I would have felt a lot better with Renfro.
It was between Cooks, Renfro, and Golden Tate. And I went Golden Tate, which was the least – was better than Cooks, but still a bad play.
You liked that narrative of him being mad at Jalen Ramsey because Jalen Ramsey left his sister?
I just thought they were going to get blown out and Tate would get like seven targets of – anyway, All of those wide receivers are terrible. Renfro, like – I didn't feel good about Renfro either. It was between him, Tate, and Cooks for me. I don't think any one of those three you would have felt good about.
No, I mean, Renfro I actually thought was a great play. I just didn't quite have enough to get there.
Weren't they all the same price?
No, and Cooks
was 4.6, I think.
Cooks was 4.5, and I had zero cap left.
Got it. Yeah. It's fine going with Brandon Cooks. He's seeing all these air yards. He's facing Minnesota.
No,
you know,
what? No, it's literally indefensible, dude. Like so bad.
I can't believe I played Brandon Cooks in cash.
I mean, the thing is that he didn't even project well. Like, he was a negative value in the Daily Roto projections, and I still was like, yep, load it up. Let's do it.
I spent very little time reconsidering playing Brandon Cooks. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, like, basically, I just was like, yeah, let's – like, I saw other people, like, touting him a little bit and being like, oh, he's a great buy-low option. Like, I just plugged him in. I don't know. Nate, like, I assume that because you don't listen to any of this crap, you probably didn't even think about Cooks.
No, I had those three guys were the only three wide receivers there that I was considering. It was Renfro, Tate, and Cooks. They were all within $100 salary. And they all projected very similarly. It was like plus or minus 2 points.
Yeah.
The thing about Renfro is he's like a slot receiver that gets a bunch of easy targets. And the thing about Cooks is he's awful. And like,
well, that's why I went with Tate. Cause Tate had similar target share projection, except in cash, I felt like he had the highest floor. Cause his targets are always, I mean, the dude has insane career efficiency.
Deadbeat dad narrative. I mean, it worked out. What do you have? Like 6 points?
Yeah, more than
that's like, oh, that's he, like
dude,
six,
he, dude. Yeah, that's
six
literally
more than Brandon Cooks, bro.
But then he legitimately punched Jalen Ramsey in the face at the end of the game.
Wait, I want to know, how many routes do we think that Brandon Cooks run? Like, was he like a Chris Hogan like wind sprinter? Was he like out there the whole game?
No, dude, because Kenny Stills was scoring touchdowns. Like, it was, I didn't watch the game because I couldn't bear to see Brandon Cooks like not catch any balls.
I don't even know, like, to be honest, I don't know the Houston wide receiver distribution of, like, what routes is Cobb running that Cooks and Stills – they all seem
so
to be...
This is actually what I think happened. I think that when Fuller's hamstring doesn't hurt, I think that he – like, okay. So you know how, like, when running backs get hurt, we see it all the time where the lead running back gets hurt, everyone thinks the third down running back is going to come in and do better, but that guy just stays in his role. I think Cooks maybe is kind of like Fuller's backup at this point, where like Cooks is going to run all the good routes when Fuller's hurt and Fuller runs the clear out routes. But then when Fuller's feeling good, Fuller runs all the good routes and Cooks runs the clear out stuff. That's if I had to guess,
and
that's
Stills
what
is
it
just
is.
Opposite. Stills is just opposite. Cooks
Stills just rotates. Stills just is like when someone gets winded, he comes in, or when Stills played in this game because they were down two touchdowns, so they played way less two tight end stuff.
Well, let me just tell you, Brandon Cooks is like this deep threat that is neither tall nor fast. Like, what does he actually do? He doesn't do anything. He's useless. I can't believe we played him in cash. That's bizarre. It's just unexcusable.
It's legit, but that is a great way. It's like the creature from Stranger Things took over me. Like, I went all dark and wigged out and my eyes rolled back and I just submitted Brandon Cooks in cash.
It was only the second worst play you made.
Okay. All right. Everyone, we'll stop teasing it.
It's time.
We played Adam Trautman. All three of us.
That is incorrect, Davis Matic. I did not play him.
Oh. Wait,
what?
You freaking fish played Adam Trautman. You think I was going to play Adam Trautman? Hell no. Not a snowball's chance in hell, my friends.
Wait, you faded to zero and still got beat by all of us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy, because I played Logan Thomas, who, like, despite them throwing for over 300 yards, still only got, like, one catch for 8 yards.
I bet he shows up on the air yards by low model, though. Actually, right, I don't even know. How many, let's see, maybe they're just done with the Logan Thomas experiment. Maybe it ended today. Let's go find out.
Four targets, one for eight.
No, Logan Thomas was a good play at his price.
Haskins threw the ball 45 times, 314 yards, just completely.
Out-targeted by Antonio Gibson, out-targeted by J.D. McKissic, out-targeted by Dontrell Inman, out-targeted by Isaiah Wright. Maybe not a better play than Adam Trautman to be 100 with you.
But Davis, when you see a 2.5 tight end that projects to have less than 10% of the target share, we got to jam him in. What was I thinking? Like, hey, I'm not surprised.
Honest question.
I don't know what I did with this play. Like, Davis makes plays like this question, all the time.
Because I don't have this data, Davis. Did Adam Trautman play in the game?
I believe I saw that he played 6 snaps in this game. And by the way,
when you say punt the position, they don't mean actually put in a guy who doesn't see the field.
This is, and I realized that this, by the way, is what happened. If you had to guess, why do you think that he went from playing 52% of the snaps last week to like none of the snaps this week? If you had to guess, because I have the answer.
Is it because Taysom Hill started playing Taysom
freaking Hill, dude. Taysom Hill came in and was playing fullback and backup tight end and slot wide receiver, and he ruined the whole thing.
He has cost me more money in my career than any other single player in all of fantasy football.
Oh.
Smooth move. Did he have a target?
No, he played like 5 snaps. I literally barely saw him out there.
So you could have just picked any random $2,500 tight end. It would have been the same thing.
Yes,
I mean, Josh Hill was actually $2,500, and you know, he's played on the Saints for like a decade, and it's just like their guy. And it's for like some reason I got so amped up. I mean, Josh Hill has literally been on this team for 7 years. He has 166 career targets, 14 career touchdowns, all from Drew Brees. And, you know, no one thought, like, let's just play this guy. No, let's play the rookie from Dayton, the first Dayton player ever drafted in the NFL.
I mean, if he cost more, if he was like 3,200, it would have been the worst play ever made on the
of all time. Season. Yeah, yes, it would have been. Yes, it would have been.
Yeah.
Tough
I
scene.
Like I feel like I should have gotten so many more points out of my play than your play. Like, I wish Logan Thomas had just shown up and done more than he did so I could just clown on you guys for playing Trautman. Like,
well, you know, the other guy that I considered playing at tight end, I honestly am glad that I – no.
No?
The guy – so I took a zero from Adam Trautman. I honestly think it would have been more embarrassing to play Rob Gronkowski at this point than to take the zero from Trautman.
Oh, yeah, dude. I got a text at like 11:30 p.m. last night. Davis is like, you know who's a play?
You know who's a play?
It's Gronk. You're tripping.
That would have been a good show, though.
Yeah. I mean, the Buccaneers, yeah, they only put up their – I mean, Gronk caught a ball at the end of that game too. And he freaking spiked it.
And
that would have been a big moment for Davis.
He had like almost one arm to TD too. I should have just gotten up to Waller and just like
I mean, that's what good. I think like stupid. Just playing Waller just was the right thing.
We knew Waller was gonna smash. We knew it. Like this was a Waller spot. And that's the thing. I would have had Waller if Clyde Edwards-Helaire had been on this slate. Like everything was fine. Everything was cool. Stupid COVID. Unbelievable. Screws up.
COVID's really stealing money from your family, bud.
Yeah, dude. I thought I was thriving during this pandemic, but it's really messing with my program. And Austin Eckler got hurt. My seasonal teams are dust. This day was complete ass. I got to tell you guys.
Yeah, it was not.
My seasonal teams are still kicking ass and taking names, so we're feeling good about that. Tough scene for Fantasy Mansion. He changed Adam Troutman's picture on Player Profiler to Captain America. He was really into the Trout Man.
Ooh. That's what got you, isn't it?
No. What got me was there was some quote about every down, like some Sean Payton quote about him being an every down player this week, and it just, I don't know.
Taysom Hill got us again.
Yeah, I'm sure Sean Payton thought he was going to be an every down player until like 4 minutes into the game, and he's like, you know what it's time for? We could use some Taysom Hill
get in there. You know what? It's like nothing angers me more than this sequence. This is the sequence that really sends me during Saints games. Third down, Taysom Hill's out there. He runs across the formation. Incomplete pass, obviously. They go to go punt. But Taysom stays on the field because he's a punt gunner. And it's just, you're like, this guy's making $12 million a year to run across the formation and then block on punt returns. Like it is so obnoxious to me. I can't handle it. Amazing. It's unbelievable.
Amazing.
It's brutal.
So that's where I'm at spiritually right now. It's not a good place.
By the way, I just want you guys to know, I'm sure you saw this on Twitter, that Joe Holka and Leone and Mans took down 50K with Trotman in the lineup.
Yeah, they did.
Swear to God, it happened.
They did, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Congrats to those guys.
They were sweating out 21.6 out of Jacobs, and he didn't even get close.
That's hot.
Oh, jeez. That's
hot. I need to – dude, I'm going to start paying Mans to hand-build lineups for me because
I was winning
the last couple of weeks ain't moving the needle.
I was winning 50K until halfway through the third quarter. I was fading – I think like 8.8 from Waller, and then he got it. But I thought I was in first of those games and first of the red zone on DK at the end of the noon games. And I was like, oh, there's just like, I'm not going to hold. Right. Like we got Bills, Raiders. We got Rams, Giants. Like those should have been a lot of points in those games. There were no points in those games. Also, this is good to get out of the way right now. Jonathan Taylor sucks, dude. And the Colts are brain dead. They just refuse to use him.
I think Jonathan Taylor's worth 8K. I don't know what you
– I just muted Nate. I can't handle it. Okay, you're off mute, Nate.
Yeah, it turns out Nyheim Hines is still going to catch balls, and he's not going to see 10 targets a game.
I keep waiting for Taylor to break off like an 80-yarder or like something like this, and it just never happens. He just runs into the back of the line. Like, why does he do that?
No, it's like he actually looks like he's at Wisconsin, where he's like, okay, all I have to do is just follow my left guard, and then I'll just be in the end zone.
it was bad. He looked like he was blind today.
I definitely had him in some GPPs, and that did not work.
If I was Sammy and I had my nose in the ground, I'd say he has bad vision as a runner.
I needed on FanDuel 2.5 more points from Jonathan Taylor for a jump from 2K to 5K, and I knew at halftime I wasn't going to get it. I was like, no, there's just not a chance. And then the Colts decide like, oh, we're not going to kneel the ball out. We're actually going to try and run after 2 minutes, right? After that Allen Robinson touchdown.
And that's when he breaks it off. That's when it happens.
And he loses a yard. He comes out and he loses. And it's unbelievable, this guy.
Can we talk about that Allen Robinson touchdown, though? Like, Allen Robinson, if he had any other quarterback in his career, he would be like one of the best receivers that we talk about.
He's bro, imagine this, Nate. Imagine playing Tyler Lockett in catch over Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson doesn't care who's throwing him the ball. It could be Nick Foles. It could be Mitchell Trubisky. He'll still put up points. I mean, he should be – if he had, like, Russ Wilson or Dak Prescott or anybody else as his QB, he'd be an AK wide receiver.
How much he costs next week? I want to play him. I want to play – I'm excited to play somebody besides Tyler Lockett.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a little look at week five next week. You know, again, assuming that these games happen, right? Because some of them are very much in question. And actually, Bills Titans is very much in question.
It's so suspect.
I feel like it's either not going to happen or the Titans are just going to go like full high T and just play like 40 practice squatters against the Bills.
Well, isn't the right thing to do to just like cancel the rest of the Titans season and then like you have to get rid of another team? So you just get rid of the Jets, right? Just say, Jets, you're not playing anymore this year. Nobody cares.
I actually think I was thinking about this. What do you guys think about if the NFL concludes that it wasn't like a random outbreak and that the Titans just straight up were like not following the protocol, just making them forfeit this Titans game? I actually think that's kind of fair, to be honest.
I mean, fair or not, there's no way they would.
There's no way. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it would never, maybe like giving up a draft pick or something. I don't know. Because if I had to bet, if you had to bet on one team in the NFL not following the COVID protocols, wouldn't it be the Titans?
Outside of the Cowboys.
Wait, why the Titans?
I mean, Vrabel is like the most like hand in the dirt, like, you know, rub some dirt on it. Like, and they're in Nashville, you know?
I would have thought the Cowboys for sure.
I mean, Zeke had COVID.
I mean, if I had to guess, I'd just guess every Cowboy had COVID and they're just like lying. There were 25,000 people in the stands at the Cowboys game today.
Jesus. All right. What are the odds we get through the NFL season? Knowing what we know now, like what's the line that the NFL season concludes?
So I was thinking about this the other day, and the huge out that they have is that because, you know, concerts aren't happening, they're not sharing the arenas, they're not sharing the venues with anyone. Right. I mean, the Super Bowl, like they could play the Super Bowl in April if they had to. Like they could just keep pushing things back and pushing things back. But yeah, I mean, having 25,000 people in the stands at the stadium, I mean, I just don't get it. You know, I don't get it. What can you do? Right.
So next week, the Cowboys are at home against the New York Giants.
Dak over under 486 passing yards.
Easy over. The Panthers are.
That sets up for a perfect game where Dak doesn't need to throw more than like 20 times and they win by 38.
And you're just going to play Zeke again and watch him get cucked at the 1 yard line again. Like this week it was Pollard cucking him. And last week Dak ran like 3 1 yard touchdowns in or whatever. Like
the Giants are such like a pitiful team.
The end zone, bro.
Davis, that sets up for such a like disappointing, everybody stacks the Cowboys and Dak throws 24.
Yeah. Times. No. Yeah. You only actually want Dak when they lose.
Yeah.
That's a game where Dallas can actually win.
So here's the real game that you stack, the Panthers at the Falcons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In the dome. Let's go.
Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to play Julio again. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's.
Oh, man. Well, here, I'll tell you this. What would they have to make Kareem Hunt for you to not play him with Nick Chubb inactive at home against the Indianapolis Colts?
What's it? What, like 8K?
Let's ask Nate. Nate's a good target for this one here.
I would say, shoot. I mean, I would say right at like 65, 66 probably. Because he'd be right at the same workload that you'd be assuming of like a James Robinson, Josh Jacobs type. Don't you think?
I mean, I think he was like the best play of the slate if he's that.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. Like, he's super good.
Well, it's just like,
the ball.
And all they want to do is run anyway.
Yeah. I just don't believe that, like, running back talent matters. And so it's, I don't know.
Why didn't you play James Robinson today, then?
Because he was 6'6", and what's his face? Mike Davis was 5'7".
Yeah. Just play him instead of Zeke, bro.
I mean,
yeah, because running back doesn't matter, bro.
I mean, it doesn't because Mike Davis. Yeah,
okay, because Mike Davis is a good CMC.
I wish I'd known McCaffrey was going to get hurt, so I could have put some playoff bets on Carolina.
People are going to talk themselves into Kirk Cousins next week. They're playing. Oh wait, no, that's a Sunday night game, so that's not in main slate. I got to be honest, this week five slate is looking pretty tragic. If we don't get Bills Titans, we have Jaguars Texans, Bengals Ravens, Panthers Falcons is going to get so much pub.
Yeah, Raiders, but Chiefs Raiders, like if they don't pump up Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I guess he's going to smash Monday night. So, the prices will come out. Dude, we might get a revamp at 6.4 Clyde Edwards-Helaire in this game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm feeling so non-optimistic about some of these games happening. You know what I mean? It's just like
I do know what you mean. Everything was going fine, and then week three, like we almost had three postponements.
Yeah, the Saints game was like right there.
Sketch, hella sketch. I can't believe it went off. I mean, there's some sort of cover up going on. Like, no, it was a false positive, like for sure.
So would you guys really pay $7K for Kareem Hunt?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably so.
Especially in the context of this slate, I think he will be an amazing play.
We'll see. I mean, here's what I'm really going to do is just, like, go into tournaments and stack Steelers and lose again. So
what's the motivation there, bud? I mean, they're not even, like, a really – like, this is the secret right now in all of fantasy football. And I can say this as someone who has won, like, $30,000 the last 2 weeks.
This is a great humble brag, by the way. It's a great segue. I was waiting for you to punch that in, by the way.
Yeah, I got it in there. Yeah. So the secret is every quarterback except for the ones who either will literally throw 60 times in a game or the ones who run are like absolutely useless. Like you just are not doing anything making Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins tournament lineups. Like it literally does not matter because they cannot get enough fantasy points to
win tournaments. And Roethlisberger falls in there too. He's fat and can't move.
Like for Roethlisberger, I mean, this is not sarcasm. Roethlisberger would have to throw for 450 yards and 5 touchdowns to get a Dak game.
Right, because that's what Dak actually does every game.
But he does that, but then he also runs for 50 yards as well. And I think he had a 2-point rushing conversion in this game. Like, I mean, the guy's unreal. He's just unreal. You know, what can you do?
Well, yeah. Then is Joe Burrow going to be the guy that we just start playing all the time? Because Joe Burrow is like the Chief.
Yes. Yes. He is like budget Josh Allen is what Joe Burrow is right now.
Except he throws more.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Burrow is good. I like him. I think that he has I think Joe Burrow is going to be like a top 9 NFL quarterback by the week 8 of next year.
Yeah, he's sharp, and you can see like the last couple of weeks he stopped throwing it to AJ Green, so you can just tell like he's a real smart guy. Like he just knew like nah, this ain't happening. Like I gotta go.
I gotta give it to T. Higgins. What's up, T. Higgins?
You remember
– how about Mixon just destroying the slate today?
Yeah. Oh, I need it.
Mixon in tournaments, like, it was hard to make money.
I did it.
Okay, this is the worst. When David,
it's way better than the Trotman play, bro. I got to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing was is, like, Mixon projected – okay, like not great. Like I think we had him as like a plus one value, which like in the DR stuff is like fine, but not great. I gotta stop playing Jonathan Taylor. Like it's costing me money at this point. Like it's just gotta stop, dude. He can't move. The guy cannot move. It's embarrassing.
It's not about him in a vacuum. He is talented. He's insane. It's about the fact that like Nyheim Hines is there taking the valuable touches that we want from a running back, which is the targets and stuff, away from him, so his ceiling is going to be capped on a weekly basis.
Well, let's not also forget that they just put Jordan Wilkins in there too.
Yeah, there's like, three other running
backs. It's not a two-man backfield.
Who's coming in for Mike Davis? Nobody. Reggie Bonham is not catching passes. It's Mike Davis's backfield. It's Alvin Kamara's backfield. It's Ronald Jones's backfield. It's like comparing Jonathan Taylor to those guys when it's very clear that Indianapolis wants to get targets to Nyheim Hines just doesn't make sense to me.
God, I hate to say this. This really hurts me, but Nate, Nate's right.
I think that what happened with the Jonathan Taylor stuff is he got what, 6 targets in that first game. And yeah. So there was just kind of that extrapolation of like, okay, Marlon Mack's been hurt and Jonathan Taylor is really good. They spent this high draft pick on him. We all thought he was great. Yeah. You know, so on and so forth. And so he had 28 carries in week 2, 26 carries and 2 catches in week 2. And then he was super chalk last week. And then, you know, the fake sharp people such as myself this week were like, he got all the work in week 1 and week 2. People are off him from the bad performance. It's a good spot. People are back in. We got to play Jonathan Taylor. And turns out we did not have to play Jonathan Taylor. And
what you didn't realize is that he is actually just Marlon Mack.
Well, no. What's happened is Jordan Wilkins is Marlon Mack. So whatever rotation they had planned out to start the year, Jonathan Taylor is just playing whatever they had started out to play in the year, and Jordan Wilkins is being Marlon Mack. They were even throwing Jordan Wilkins' ball. I think Jordan Wilkins had more targets than
they Jonathan each Taylor. Had one this week, I think. They each had a target, and Nyheim Hines had 3. The issue was they ran the ball an insane amount of times. Both Hines and Wilkins had 9 rushing attempts.
That ain't going to get it done. That ain't going to get it done at all.
Oh, the Colts, here's the thing. Philip Rivers, dude, washed.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously.
Any team could have had Cam Newton for $1 million. Philip Rivers is signed to a $28 million deal. Tyrod Taylor is on a 2-year, like, $23 million deal. These teams just let Cam Newton, who is on the COVID list, so maybe not a great signing, but looked great through 3 games, and they were like, nope, Philip Rivers.
I'm shocked that Philip Rivers hasn't been able to put it together with a wide receiver core like Zach Pascal, T.Y. Hilton, Marcus Johnson.
Got Mo Alley Cox. Like, he should be fine. Mo Alley can do it.
T.Y. is so dust. It's unreal.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton is basically just Brandon Cooks with a larger
My favorite thing right now is dunking on people who don't watch the All-22 and they just look at the air yard stuff and they're like, you got to send some trade offers out for A.J. Green and T.Y. Hilton.
Oh, those stupid non-tape watchers.
Dude, I mean, I used to be one of those people, but like, you do pick up a lot of latent information watching that stuff that you won't if you're just literally clicking on models.
That's right. Leads you to a dope ass place like Brandon Cooks and Adam Trotman.
Yeah, that's what grinding the tape does.
I can't believe the Adam Trotman play. I mean, seriously. Yeah,
I mean, the reality is, like, we're just 3 fish in a bowl, bro. Like, swimming around on a big rock, floating around in the sun. That's us.
Oh, man. Well,
you should feel worse about the Cooks play than the Trotman thing, IMO.
Yeah, because, by the way, Scotty Miller is like a real thing. I need to just make a mental note of this. Like, Scotty Miller.
I hate Scotty Miller so much.
He is Brady's favorite guy of all time. Like, he would, like, those guys probably, like, play golf together on Monday mornings.
Nate, you hate Renfro and Scotty Miller?
Every time Scotty Miller catches a deep ball, it's because he, like, finds himself under it and is, like, looking up at it. He doesn't go out and get anything. He's, like, the least athletic deep ball. Like, I can't stand him.
It's so weird how they use him. They put Justin Watson, the big, tall guy, in the slot, and then they're like, all right, 5'8", Scotty Miller, go run 9 rounds.
Deep. It drives me nuts.
It is. It's insane. I don't understand it. I don't get it at all. So, yeah, that's this week. It was – I mean, so, you know, I played more in cash this week on the 2 sites than I would because I had a good week last week. And, you know, had I not literally just run so insanely hot with these afternoon games, I would be in a much worse attitude because, I mean, our team is just, like, my team was just indefensible in cash. Like, it was just not a good team. I didn't do anything.
And I really thought, just like you, I was like, dude, I'm going to win. Like, this is a good lineup. I'm going to win. It's when I feel the most confident that things go the worst, I think. Like, I didn't feel that confident in weeks one and two, and I completely crushed. And, like, both last week and this week, I was like, dude, my teams are solid.
See, I actually disagree with that. I would say very often I know when things are feeling not right heading into the slate, and I'm like, oh, if I do well here, it's just luck, right? Like, if I win in this slate, it's not going to be because I analyzed everything properly and my team fit together. It'll just be because I ran hot. Whereas a good chunk of the time, when I feel good going into a slate, it's because, like, there's a clear play. I feel good. I feel like my side of, like, the 2v2. So, for example, today, the Metcalf Texans D versus Odell Buccaneers D, I didn't really feel either way about that. I was like, one side of this will be better by 20 points, and I just don't know which one it is. And I kind of sided with Metcalf just because of the let Russ cook stuff, honestly. Like, I just assumed Metcalf could get 30 easier than Odell, and that was not accurate. That is not correct. But, like, today I felt like my side was good, like my side was right, and I got crushed. But most of the time I don't feel that way.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I felt, if you had told me Lockett was the one to kill me, I wouldn't have believed. Like, going into Lockett, he was the one I felt most comfortable about.
Yeah, I think that seems fair. I mean, we have seen nothing but absolute fireworks from the Seahawks for a month, you know? Like, we've seen...
I'm starting to feel nauseous talking about Tyler Lockett again. I thought we were past it. I got it out. Like, if we keep talking about him, I'm going to tear my okay. eyeballs out.
Well, do you want to talk about anything else, bud?
No.
Do we have anything else to cover?
I want to go lay in my coffin.
Sammy wants to end this week. He wants to close.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. Get me out of here.
Yeah. All right. Well, everyone, you know, we'll be back next week. Hopefully football is still happening and on pace, and you know, no one has gotten sick or ill of the coronavirus. You know, let us all pray. Let us all be hopeful, and we will be back next week. Later, boys.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.